the beginning of this last week, with this service in view, I was spending time just wondering exactly what to speak on and what things to say on the subject of thinking about God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God's provision. And the issue of God's abundance kept coming back to that. And I started to do some searching into the theme of abundance. And I looked up the word abundance and also abundant and abundantly, and discovered hundreds of verses scattered throughout the scriptures where those words were mentioned, and in very many cases directly related to the person and being and nature of God, and also of his work in his world. And so I want to talk this morning about God's abundance. And I want to do it in three ways and under three headings. I want to talk, first of all, about God's abundant nature. Then I want to talk about God abounds toward us. And then thirdly, the abundance we receive from God. So first of all, God's abundant nature. And I want to highlight three things. There are many things about God that are abundant, but three things really struck me as I was looking through many of these different verses from the scriptures. I want us to remember this morning God's abundant mercy, God's abundant kindness, and God's abundant redemption. So let's consider some of the scriptures that talk about these things. There are very many that talk about God being abundant in mercy, probably more than any other attribute of God. The word abundant is used in reference to God's mercy again and again and again, especially through the Old Testament. So, for example, in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Psalm 86, verse 5. For you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. And in the same psalm at verse 15, but you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. The very nature of God, the very being of God, is that he is abundant in mercy. His heart is such that when he looks down upon this sinful world, he has this capacity to show mercy. To show mercy to those who don't deserve it, because it's in his very nature to be merciful. Secondly, his abundant kindness. To be kind. Nehemiah again. I had that from the children. When you get to chapter 9 in Nehemiah, you read these words. You are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. And Jonah, now you remember Jonah. Now, of course, he's the one who ran away from the commission that God had given him. Of course, when you hear people retell the story of Jonah, many of them will get the story wrong in this respect, They'll tell you that Jonah ran away because he was frightened. Jonah wasn't frightened. When you get to chapter 4, Jonah explains and confesses why he ran away. Because when the people of Nineveh repent, Jonah says, I knew you'd do that. That's why I ran away. I didn't want you to do it. These people don't deserve your kindness. Those people don't deserve your mercy. They're terrible people. How on earth can you consider forgiving a nation like them? That's why I ran away. But you see, Jonah himself makes this confession. You are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. One who relents from doing harm. Because the people of Nineveh repented of their sins, God's judgment was lifted and he forgave them. How is it that God can deal with a pagan nation like that? A nation that's guilty of all kinds of horrible, horrendous crimes and sins. Because the very nature of God is loving kindness. It's really important, you know, these are things that God has revealed about himself in the scriptures that had he not done so, we'd be left guessing. We'd be sucking our finger and putting the wind up. Which way do you think God's blowing today? What do you reckon God is? Who do you think God's like? But God has revealed himself. So this is who I am. And his very nature is to show mercy. His very nature is to be kind. Don't we see that in the Lord Jesus? Abundantly kind, full of mercy. And the third thing is abundant redemption. Psalm 130, for an example. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. Redemption is talking about salvation. Redemption is talking about the fact that even though you owe God so much that you could never repay him, he will deal with that debt. Pay it for you. So even in the Old Testament, you see, all the things that Christ came to do, the reason why Christ came, it's all found, as we go through these Old Testament scriptures, it's all wrapped up in the nature of God. If God were not any of these things, he would never have sent Christ. If God were not merciful, if God were not kind, if God were not abundant in redemption, Jesus would never have come, because God would never have sent him. Why did God send the Lord Jesus into the world? Because this is how God is. This is his very nature. This is his being. The abundance of God in mercy and kindness and redemption. God is a glorious God. God is worthy of our praise. God is worthy of our thanks. God is worthy of our obedience because of who he is. I don't know what your idea of God is. Maybe there are some here this morning and you have your own idea of God. When we go out doing the door-to-door work or chatting to people on the street when we have the open airs in Liverpool, you sometimes get into conversation with people and discover that they've made up their own idea, either of who God is or of what they would like God to be like, if there's a God. And it's often a long way from the God of the Bible. They've got this. Sometimes it's their own idea about who God is that is keeping them away from God. Often that's the case. Well, you see, God's like that, and I don't like that kind of God. To which we often find ourselves saying, well, actually, neither do I. That's not the God I've come to tell you about. That's not the God that I believe in either. Let me tell you about the God of the Bible. And when we talk to people, we can go to them and speak to them about a God who is abundant in mercy a God who is abundant in kindness, a God who is abundant in redemption. He wants them to be returned to him. Now, that's the kind of God we can go and talk to people about, isn't it? Because this is God's nature. Do you know this God? You ought to. He's worth knowing. He's wonderful. This is the kind of abundance that God has in himself. The great thing about the Bible is it shows us that whilst this is actually the very nature of God, it doesn't stop there. This nature of God is active, and he acts according to his nature. And that shouldn't really surprise us, but it's good to know. God acts towards us according to his nature, and God abounds towards us in so many good things. So I want to just go on to our next heading, which is God abounds toward us. He's active, and we can receive and know him in all his goodness. Let me take you through three verses from the New Testament. Because one of the great things we see, of course, are these great links between the Old and the New. The Old Testament is preparing us for everything that God is going to fulfill in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, Peter records this, one of the apostles of Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This merciful God has actually acted in mercy. His mercy has driven him to act and to do something. His abundant mercy has begotten us again, a living hope. How and why? Well, he sent the Lord Jesus, who died and has risen again from the dead. He's done something active towards us, for us. 1 Timothy, the opening chapter of 1 Timothy. The grace of our Lord, talking about Christ, was exceedingly abundant. Abundant grace. Of course, Jesus is God. Jesus has that godly nature. Exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Abundant grace. Undeserving favor. The grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. God moving according to his nature towards sinners, reaching out to lost men and women, reaching out to those who've turned against him because of who he is. Wonderful, exceedingly abundant grace in Christ. And Romans 5, verse 17. If by one man's offence, he's talking about the sin of Adam, if by one man's offence death reigned through the one, he's talking about the fact that we're all sinners because of Adam's sin. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You see, this merciful, kind God who abounds in all of these wonderful things gives to us abundant grace, and he actually gives us a gift. He gives us a gift, righteousness, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful God. Now, sometimes when you listen to people talking about their views on God, it can often seem as though they think that God owes us a good and an easy life. The difficulties and the sorrows that we all experience in life are used by people to question God. Well, because my life is like this and because my life is like that, don't tell me about your God. There cannot be a God if my life is so horrible. Because apparently, if God does exist, that God should make their life easy. God owes them an easy life if there is a God. Surely, if this God of love really exists, he wouldn't permit these difficult things to happen. And so often when you're talking to people, it comes across, well, if you want me to believe in God, I'll only do that if you can show me that what he's going to do for me and what I can get out of it. And of course, when they say that, they simply mean they want a God who is going to act for them like a talisman. They want a God who is going to act for them like a good luck charm. A God who enables them to avoid all the unpleasant things in life while they, however, just continue on their own merry way, doing their own thing. But with God just acting like this supernatural good luck charm who'll smooth the path in front of them. God must not intrude or interfere with any of my plans. Just make the road smooth for me. That's the kind of God I'm after. Now, of course, the reality is we are deeply in debt to God. The reality is we deserve nothing from him because of our sin. We are those who have rejected him outright and rebelled against him completely in our sinfulness. But in those three verses that we've just considered, we see that despite how we've treated God, God reaches out in mercy and God reaches out in grace. And he does so abundantly. And he does it to those who are in their sin. And he does it while we're still in our sin. God has mercy and grace in infinite supply. So much so that, as we saw the other week in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he himself has done everything necessary so that we may be reconciled back to himself. And I want to point something out as well. Those verses that I just mentioned, 1 Peter, 1 Timothy and Romans, where the apostles there, they talk about abundant mercy. They talk about exceedingly abundant grace. They talk about the gift of righteousness that God offers. I want you to notice something. If you were to take those three verses, look them up in your Bible, and if you actually read them out loud, in talking about the abundance of God's mercy and in talking about the abundance of God's grace, you would actually name Jesus Christ in the same breath. And that's at the heart of it, you see. The abundance of God's grace and the abundance of God's mercy is all wrapped up in the fact that God sent Jesus into the world. There is the proof of it. There is the demonstration of it. It's no mistake that in those three verses where the apostles talk about abundant mercy and abundant grace, that in the same breath they talk about Christ. It's no mistake. Because it's in him that we may know these things. You see, if it were not for such abundant mercy and grace, God would never have sent Jesus. And if God had never sent Jesus, we could never know the abundance of God towards us. But God is abundant. And he's demonstrated his abundance to us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ. This holy God looks down upon his creation, which is spoiled and marred beyond recognition through the sins of mankind. Yet in his grief and in his anger over our sins, because be in no doubt, our sins bring grief and anger to God like you never thought possible, yet there is abounding mercy and grace. Abounding mercy and grace. So much so that he would send his own son to die in the place of sinners to pay the penalty for our sins. Why would he do that? Because God abounds in redemption. Such is his love for us. I wonder, is there anyone here and you're wondering, what is this God like? How can I know this God? Well, this is what God is like, abounding in mercy, in kindness, in grace. And you can know him and know what he is like when you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and see the one who he has sent to die for you, to reconcile you to himself, so that you can know him and love him and experience his mercy and experience his grace and experience his kindness to you. We have an abundant God. And finally, I want to talk this morning about the abundance that we receive from God. The abundance that we receive from God. First of all, we have abundant salvation. We are abundantly saved. There's no one in this room who's only partly saved. Everyone is abundantly saved. Titus chapter 3 from verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, the abundance of God is oozing out of these verses. The Bible tells us that our condition before God is far worse than any of us imagined it might be. We're not just a little bit naughty in God's eyes. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, and we are under his eternal condemnation. Our standing before God as sinful men and women is far worse than any of us imagined it might have been. Our position before him is hopeless and helpless. But look, God saves us from what we were. God saves us from where we were heading, and he totally transforms and reworks us. Washed, regenerated, renewed, abundant salvation. God does everything that you are in need of as a sinner in order that he can save you and forgive you and pardon you and have an eternal home for you to spend all of eternity with him. It is an abundant salvation. He hasn't missed out anything. It is completely comprehensive. He's done it all. And he's actually, when you think about what God offers us in the gospel, he's done far more than we imagine he might ever have done. To adopt us as his children, to make us co-heirs with Christ, to put us on the same level as his own son. It's remarkable what God has done. Abundant salvation, over and above anything that we might have imagined. Certainly over and above anything that we ever deserved. And how does God do this? He tells us there in Titus, he comes to us abundantly in the person of his Spirit through Jesus Christ. God himself comes to the sinner and comes and dwells within you and changes everything. It's abundant salvation. Secondly, we are promised an abundant reception. Now, you have receptions at weddings. And the Bible pictures something that's going to happen in the future as a wedding. A coming together of a bridegroom and a bride. The bridegroom being the Lord Jesus Christ and the bride being his church. Saved men and women and boys and girls. And we're promised an abundant reception. 2 Peter 1 verse 11. So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. An abundant reception. You never need be in any doubt as a Christian as to whether or not you are a Christian. You never need be in any doubt as a Christian as to where your eternal destiny is. There is an abundant reception for all in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this glorious promise of who you now are in Christ and where you one day will be in glory. And in the meantime, we're promised an abundant life. an abundant life. John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus, is it that passage where he's talking about himself as the good shepherd? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, here's a question. If someone came up to you with their finger on this verse, I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And if they said to you, what does that mean? What is this abundant life that the Christian has? How would you answer them? What is it? What is this abundant life? What does it mean to have life abundantly? Is it that God now provides us with a pathway to unhindered success in all of the dreams and ambitions that you'll ever, ever have? An abundant life. Is it that God will now fix things so that we no longer experience any more trials or problems or difficulties? You'll have an abundant life. No. No. The abundant life has nothing to do with that. You will find some who teach that the abundant life is about having the best of everything now that this world has to offer. It's nothing to do with that. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, take heed, beware of covetousness. One's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So this abundant life is nothing to do with the abundance of things. So what is it to do with? Well, it's nothing to do with measuring life by the standards and measures that most people use in the world. If you went out and talked to people on the street and said, what for you would be an abundant life? The kind of things they put on their list, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Psalm 37, verse 11. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Peace. The things that people hope the things of the world will give them, ultimately, is what God offers. There's not a lot of peace in the world. And people are looking for peace. It's found in Christ. There's an abundance of peace. Peace in your soul. Peace in your conscience. Peace where now there is guilt. There's peace for those who have been reconciled to God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah 31, verse 14. I will satiate, or I will satisfy the soul of the priests with abundance. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. This abundant life that is promised in Christ is about being satisfied with and by the goodness of God. It's about knowing God's own goodness for yourself. All those things that we talked about that God is like, the nature and the being of God, mercy, kindness, redemption. This abundant life is that you personally live experiencing and knowing those things for yourself. This abundant life is actually that you now walk in fellowship with God. This abundant life is that you now actually know him and love him and serve him personally through Christ. This abundant life is that Christ now lives and dwells in you and has brought new newness of life and new hope. This is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Psalm 36, verse 8, we read this verse before. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. The abundant life is to find your satisfaction in God. The abundant life is to find that God will never fail you. The abundant life is to find that God will always keep his promises. The abundant life is to find that you can trust in God in those difficult times, and even though they may hurt, he will never leave you nor forsake you, and that there is nothing that can separate you from his love. That is the abundant life. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. This abundant life is finding that in Christ and through the Holy Spirit and through God's Word, you have everything that you need to do that which God has given you to do. The Apostle Paul lived an abundant life. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was stoned and left for dead. But he lived an abundant life. He knew what this meant, because he knew what it was to live as a Christian in fellowship with God and Christ. He knew what it was to be satisfied in his own soul that he was in God's will and that God was with him and for him. He lived an abundant life. Even though terrible things happened, he knew God's sufficiency in all things. Paul could say, I have learned to be content even when I have nothing, and even when I have everything. That is the abundant life. The abundant life is being content in God regardless of your earthly circumstances, not because of them. That's the abundant life. God is an abundant God. Merciful, kind, good. God has demonstrated his abundance in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you may know him, that you may love him, that you may serve him, and that one day you will be with him forever. This is the abundance that God offers, that you will have peace in your soul and contentment in your heart, no matter what happens, because God is still God. And one day you'll be with him. This is God's abundance for lost men and women. Do you know him?